I'd like to call this scheduled meeting of Superior Beach Town Council together. I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. And Dr. Bullock was supposed to be here for invocation. He's not, so I guess I'll do it for him. No, he's there, he is. God grant us the ability to run the town, rule the town, whatever, and to the best of our knowledge. And we hope that everybody here tonight is in good health. And we hope that everybody here tonight is in excellent finances. And we hope that everybody here tonight can help us and point us in the right direction so that we can truly rule the town. And with that being said, amen. Just join me in standing, join me in the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have a vote to excuse Commissioner Pagley, so.
I'll make a motion to excuse.
Second. All those in favor, say what's saying aye. Thank you. Next, did you get that? Thank you. And we now have a proclamation to give out for the Safe Voting Award. And with that being said, Doug, can I give you this? Nice seeing you again.
Good to see you.
And I'm here.
How are you?
And we thank you.
And you have an old president here.
Oh, yeah. This is proclamation in support of National Safe Voting Week. Whereas on average 700 people die each year of voting related accidents in the U.S., approximately 70% of these fatalities caused by drowning. And whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by the vote, equipment, or environmental factors. And whereas a significant number of voters who lose their lives by drowning each year will be alive today had they worn their life jacket. And now, therefore, let it be proclaimed that the town of Superior Beach, North Carolina, hereby joins the Cape Fear Salem Power Squadron in supporting the goals of the North Carolina Safe Voting Campaign and proclaims May 19th through the 25th, 2012, as National Safe Voting Week and started the year-end effort to promote safe voting. I'm happy to give this to you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Something to give us?
Very little. I'm sure Mayor Lambeth and the commissioners think that Doug Murray, Cape Fear Power Squadron, and the Japanese Beatles arrive about the same time every year. We really have very little to say. Your proclamation has set it off, except for one thing that has been brought to our attention during this past year. There have been several accidents on the water where adults were either knocked unconscious or for some reason or other were unable to get to their life jackets. We know that if you're under the age of 13, you must wear your jacket when you're in any kind of a vessel that is underway. I would just ask that those of you here take heed to the loss of life that's caused because people have a life preserver on board, but they do not wear it. For some reason, they may think it's not cool. I don't think that an older person riding a bicycle with a helmet on looks very cool either, but I would sure hate to have an accident, fall on the pavement, fracture my skull because I didn't think it was cool to wear a helmet. Same thing goes for a vest. Thank you again for your time each and every year.
Thank you. We now have the approval of the consent agenda, and I would like to add, Nancy, if you could pick up a small plaque for Tim since he served 20 years on the PSE committee, and he will be
next month's meeting.
Okay.
And with that, you'll have a... Do I have...
You make a motion?
Yes, sir. Okay. Do I have... Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
That's for the consent agenda or the plaque?
The consent agenda.
Okay. Couldn't we get a motion just to do the plaque, too?
Make a motion that we get a plaque for Tim Bullard's service for the planning and zoning commission.
Okay.
There you go. Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Adoption of the agenda.
Can we just add on new business, just to review the annual hurricane letter that you have a copy before you? Item number two on page three.
Yeah, under new business number two.
Town email, and then the second will be the emergency manager letter on page three, sir.
All right. Any other additions to the agenda?
Yes. Under the committee businesses, I would like to provide you with some information on the Greenway.
Okay. That's number five.
Sure.
Any other additions?
Make a motion to accept the agenda as provided.
The regular agenda as amended.
Regular agenda as provided.
Just a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, discussion and consideration. People to address council. Mr. Lindsay lives at 311 Atlantic Avenue. Good evening, council members. My comments tonight are concerns related to the new off-street parking places at the Atlantic Avenue House. I sent an email with detailed information to each of you last Friday, May 11th. But in summary, we've been trying to get an answer from the building inspector since we sent him an email on March the 20th requesting a response to our simple question. And the question is, does the new off-street parking spaces at this Atlantic Avenue residence meet your beach code requirements, specifically related to the dimension requirements and the number of off-street parking spaces? We also expressed in that email our concern that emergency vehicles may have difficulty passing by that house when the people park their cars and they're extended way out into the public right-of-way on that one-way street. We didn't get a response from the building inspector to our email. So 2 weeks later, I had a follow-up meeting with Mr. Batson on April the 2nd in his office, and he still wouldn't answer my question. We sent a follow-up email to Mayor Lambeth on May the 4th, and I had a follow-up meeting with him on May the 9th, requesting his help to get Mr. Batson to answer our default simple question. Mr. Batson refused to come to the mayor's office and answer that question. I don't know what's going on, guys. Council members, this open code compliance issue is almost 2 months old, since March the 20th. Why can't we get a simple and straightforward answer to our documented concerns and in a timely manner about off-street parking requirements? I'm now requesting your help.
That's it. You're now requesting our help.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have the cars that belong to the people who live in the house in front of it, have the cars stuck out into the street?
The cars stick out into the public right of way most of the time.
Public right of way?
Yes, sir.
But are they on the street?
Pardon?
Probably on the asphalt. Because in Curie Beach, there are no ordinances for public right-of-way parking. So in the entire part of town,
off-street parking for the residents.
It's not just a residence issue, sir. If it's a public right-of-way and it's not asphalted, you can park there in the town of Curie Beach right now.
Okay.
So I would assume the building inspector and the police department would tell you that, and maybe the town attorney. But in Curie Beach, my entire life, as long as your car was off the asphalt and on public property, it was allowed to be there.
Okay, that's not my issue. My issue is the code requirement for off-street parking spaces, the dimensions requirements of those spaces, and the number required by the code of ordinances.
You're talking about for a property?
For a property.
Okay.
Could the cars, and I'm just throwing it out there, could the cars pull in parallel with the house? And
I don't know. That's not my issue, not my question. My question is, does the Curie Beach ordinance, is it met by the off-street parking requirements of a residential piece of property, and do they have the required number of spaces? That seems simple and straightforward to me.
Okay. Does the ordinance require that? For a business it does, but for a residential property, there's no requirement for how many parking spaces you have.
Yes, sir.
There is?
There is.
When did they pass that? When did we pass it, I guess?
It's been years ago.
About 10 years ago.
Okay, I knew it was after I built my house because I don't have identified parking on my house.
And about 3 years ago, it was modified still to add more parking place requirements if you had four or more bedrooms.
Glad I have an old house. So... So this house must be new, I guess. Is that a problem?
No, sir. It's an old house that was recently reconstructed.
Okay. Well, I think it's a valid question. I mean, I don't know that we can answer right now, but I think the town attorney and the building inspector need to answer the question, right? It's been brought up.
How many parking spaces are they required to have?
For the first three bedrooms, you're required to have two parking spaces. For each additional bedroom, you're required to have one additional parking space.
How many bedrooms? Do we know that all of them are being used as bedrooms, or is a den being used as a bedroom, or a bedroom used as a den? How many bedrooms are being used as bedrooms?
I'm not sure of the exact number of bedrooms being used as bedrooms.
Are we talking about eight particular spots?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he's asking about a specific property.
For yeah.
313 Atlantic Avenue. I wasn't going to divulge it here, but you all got the information, and that information
yes.
in the email that you had.
Are the cars in the park there, you know, extended over to the public parking area, which every house in Curie Beach has? If they're not in the street, how am I going to hurt them?
Well, the issue is if the code requires it, you either have it or you don't, right?
The question is, what is the Curie Beach requirement for off-street parking in dimensions? And he just answered the question of how many spaces, but he can't tell me after this new construction is completed and they have just recently redone their driveway after they moved in now. Can't tell me how many parking places require. It would appear to me that they would have had to submit maybe a camera permit or at least a building permit, which that information should be there.
Yes, I don't know. So our ordinance to decide how big the parking space is?
Yes, sir, it does.
Well, I mean, I think we got to answer the question, right? Tell them to ask. I don't think we should answer it right in the second because you guys should make, because it could cause a lot of other problems. So I think your answer needs to go through the town attorney. But in an open council meeting, we've been asked a question, so we should answer it. We should inform the property owner what the answer is, too, because this is going to get into a problem, I would guess. The good thing is with impervious surface, if he met the requirements of how much he could cover, he could make parking spaces anywhere on his lot, right? I mean, the codes that came with that, I'm not sure now, but...
There's a couple other things that come into play with that,
yes. I'm sure there are, right? There always are. That's
fine.
We have
those. Do you have any idea how much space he's got?
I'm not sure the exact dimensions.
Well, so I propose to council that it's the 15th. 1 week for the building inspector and the attorney to draft an answer to the question. If the council's okay with it, that's be my proposal, right? I don't want us to give a flip answer and cause other problems. But
and I appreciate that, sir.
I mean, I think a week's reasonable. I think
It's already been 2 months.
Okay, well, I understand that. I'm just saying that I think a week's reasonable if the rest of the council feels like that. And the attorney can tell us at the end of the meeting if I did something stupid. But I think the answer is what the answer is, then what happens after is different. That's a motion, I guess.
A second.
Okay, so.
All in favor, say aye.
Please copy us on the answer, Mr. Attorney and Mr. Inspector.
Yes, sir.
You can tell me tomorrow what I did bad. Thank you, sir.
You done good.
Okay. Don? Another 524 Fifth Avenue.
Could you, the whole name?
Don Mother.
Don Marvel.
Don Marvel.
What? Okay. Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Hello.
Council members. I'll be brief. I don't intend to take more than 3 minutes. A little history as to why I'm here this evening. I am an owner of a small business located here in Cary Beach. I operate out of my home at just an office. I recently have obtained a privilege license. Cary Beach. I observed on the Cary Beach newsletter at the very bottom, or I guess perhaps it was on the business tab, that local business owners in Cary Beach were invited to submit some information about their business that would be incorporated in the newsletter as free advertisement. And I thought that was a great idea. I really got excited because of the fact that Cary Beach was being so proactive, and nothing is better than having a hometown system promoting hometown business owners. And I thought that was a great opportunity. I put together all the necessary information in a short context and sent it off to the town clerk to have, pardon me, have added to the list of other businesses who are advertising. I was surprised by the response when the response came back to me and said that this pertained only to brick and mortar businesses. Now, there was no mention of the pre-qualification that it had to be a brick and mortar business. And I also was a little taken back by the attitude that, hey, we are a tax-paying entity, operating legally within the town, and we are being prevented from taking advantage of a free service. So I took the opportunity on one of the Saturdays and sat and had a conversation with Dean, and he made recommendation that I come here this evening and ask if there's any way possible that we could amend this unwritten rule of
going from brick and mortar to any legitimate business holding a legitimate privilege license residing in Kirby Beach, having the opportunity to have a little paragraph attached to the bottom of the town dues letter so that we also can perhaps take advantage of some of this advertising and earn some income so we can continue to pay our taxes. That's where it's at. I'm hoping that you gentlemen and lady will see to it in my benefit to make this change. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about your business?
My business is a home renovation company.
I see you have an agenda for later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that about this?
That's me. Yes. Good. And Nancy has some discussion later.
How much? It's
on the agenda.
It's on our agenda for new business.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Okay. Does that mean this gentleman will have to wait until we get to new business, which could be 2-3 hours from now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it means.
So keep your number. I'll be glad to give you a call.
It's up to you. It's your council. It's your agenda. You can change it around.
Okay, MDO Citizens Advisory Committee, and we're going to interview Leanne Lawrence.
Yay!
Hello, Leanne.
Good evening, Mayor, my American Council members. Happy to be here tonight to offer you about the position that's open for Kirby Beach representation on the MDO. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, if I may.
Yes.
I've been a resident of Kirby Beach for 15 years. I am a licensed architect in the state of North Carolina. I've been practicing for 17 years in architecture. I think that my background in design and in planning would be of benefit to the town, and that's why I present myself as a candidate for this opening. I'd like the opportunity to take my expertise and lend it to the betterment of our community, and also in particular in representing our community on this Citizens Advisory Committee. So that is why I'm here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. But in a nutshell, I think that, my experience and background is particularly suited to working with this particular group, and it would be my honor to represent Kirby Beach to the greater community.
Is this what Jim Dugan was on before?
No. This was another one that Paul was on. Martin has.
Do you have anything to ask?
So what do you understand is your role as a representative for the town to a committee outside of the town?
My role, particularly with the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization, they look at specifically at traffic, at transportation, which really is in our culture, in our society, with vehicular new cars, with buses, with mass transit. That is the spine, that's the backbone of how we live. And so I see my role as representing the views of Kirby Beach and the opinions of Kirby Beach to this group, as well as bringing my understanding of design, of master planning, of looking at things from not only 30,000 feet, but understanding how that functions for the individual who is experiencing and living in this greater, this regional area. So it's not my, obviously my, it's not my goal to go represent my own views, but to hear what our town's concerns are, and a lot of them I know, is having lived here for 15 years, but also to be able to apply that and to represent our town to the individuals and to this organization to make a meaningful contribution on behalf of Kirby Beach as all of our communities come together to plan for the future and how we can make our city and our our communities a better place.
And so what do you see as your role for getting inputs from the town? I mean, in the end, if you have one view and the council has a different view, how do you understand your role in that?
I think my role is that we sit down and we talk, and I represent the views of our community. Mm-hmm. I don't think I represent myself. I represent Cary Beach. So I look forward to the opportunity to collaborate with council, to communicate.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
I'm glad that wasn't my phone.
I'm glad to cut it off.
I look forward to the opportunity to bring back to council and to our community information of the discussions of the topics and the agendas of the WMPO, and to dialogue about how and to receive that input about next steps and ideas and our visions for this region, and then to be able to communicate those to the organization.
We have a resignation from our planning and zoning board, and I kind of wish you would still switch over that too. Because you're much nicer looking than the rest of the game. But we didn't have to say that. Anyway, I think it would be a great advantage to have you on the board. So.
It would be my pleasure to represent our community. Yes. I've been so fortunate to be a resident of for the past many years.
I'll make the motion. Do we accept it?
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for willing to serve.
Cary Beach Community Center.
Chuck?
Oh my God. By now, most of you know that the community center has asked us to allow them to serve alcohol over the center for certain events. And after speaking with the committee and Andy and the town clerk, I'd like to make the following observations and suggestions. However, I did this about 3 or 4 days ago, and I noticed in the packet, almost word for word, when I get ready to say it, it's already been put in the packet. If you read your packet, you know what I'm going to say. Originally, the basis for the request was to submit a couple more revenues could be had obtained by allowing alcohol at receptions, weddings, parties, in other words, paying rental events. Then later, the town-sponsored events, like dances and dinners, were requested, which sent up red flags and delayed it, everything we try to do. So I think the first thing to do is divide the issues into two separate motions. One is for town-sponsored events, and the other is for paid rental events. If we can approve that alcohol for paid rental events only, everything is in place for us to vote yes tonight. Perhaps we may need some tweaking on the contract language, which has already been done. And Andy says that by making those changes tonight, we can start business tomorrow.
Well,
if we do this for the paid rentals only, then the town is not involved in alcohol permits, additional liabilities, or additional costs. We're out of it. It would be up to the renters or the caterers to have the permits and the insurance. But I think we should take tables of town sponsored events. This opens up additional liability, additional cost, and needs a lot more consideration in the search. So that starts with the real reason for this request, which was additional revenues for the community center from paid rental defense. And I know for a lot of most of you all dance a little better with alcohol, but I know I do. But let's take the important step first, that either we can come back later and consider the town sponsored event. The committee should know that apparently there are different types. By the way, the committee, this is for you all, you should know that there are different types of liability. There's nothing in here about liquor liability insurance. That has to be added, and I think so. I don't think your homeowner would cover something like that. It might be.
Well, it's not really liquor.
So if this passes tonight, be sure that you and Andy get together and make sure we got that language straight out, because I think they've already done it. Now, there is some concern as to when, who, how, paperwork, and follow-up can be handled. Our ordinance states that the Community Center Committee does the bookings. but the committee feels its volunteers shouldn't be involved or have responsibility to follow up on the alcohol and liability insurance. On the other hand, Down Turk is reluctant to take on additional work for her limited staff. As we all know, with some great leadership from her town clerk, we're operating with five people where it used to be seven. However, she says she is willing to take on additional responsibility to the council mandate. So if the town clerk and committee can work out a plan as to how to handle the paperwork and follow up, I'm ready to vote yes to the changes to ordinance and policy for paid rental events and to table the request for town sponsored events.
Very good.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
That's a motion.
Can I have a clearer motion? Because I don't quite understand what the motion is supposed to be.
You want to read your clear one? You want to read your clear one?
Okay.
Yes, just on first book.
You need to amend the more ordinances.
Yes.
First.
Well,
yeah.
We'll do it.
Do you want me to do it all in one motion? Like you wrote?
Yes.
You can do it.
Good. Okay.
Oh, good. You wrote it.
Yeah. You want to pull that out so you can see it? You don't have to type it. You can come back.
No, that's
here's
okay.
Here's my motion. Vote to amend ordinances Chapter 12, Parks and Recreation, Article 3, Community Center, Section 55, by deleting Subsection 1 and Chapter 3, Alcohol Beverages, Section 1, Drinking Malt Beverages and Unfortified Wine on Public Streets, Subsection A, by adding the following language at the end. Accepting therefrom, the Curie Beach Community Center will operate under the general policy provisions for the rental of Curie Beach Community Center adopted by the Curie Beach Council, and a copy of the policy will be on hand for review in the front office of Town Hall. That's my first motion. I have a second one.
Second.
Third. You
can
say
all in favor, say by saying
aye. Aye.
Discussion?
Yeah. The discussion, there's another motion.
Okay, ready for the second?
Okay.
Vote to approve the revised general policy provisions for rental with one change. Page 2, second sentence, change that to read general and liquor liability insurance. Now discussion? That's the second motion.
Discussion.
Do
we want to give them, basically, carte blanche, or do you want to put a time frame on this and then revisit it?
Oh, is it called to review us before?
Yeah, let's give them 6 months and then review it and see how much money you've actually handed to them.
You better wait till the end of the year.
I would go for a year.
That's it. 1 year?
Because we're already in the summer.
Okay. Well, I thought the summer would be more for money back then.
Well, good. I mean, plus the budget season's a good time to review it anyway, right? Because then we'll know impact.
So I would like to add a year or two.
Okay, so do you want to amend my motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. Vote to approve the revised general policy provisions for rental with one change, page 2, second sentence, change that in regard to general and liquor liability insurance, and the town council to review this provision at the May 2013 meeting.
Second.
Whatever. May 2013, the year.
Oh,
next May.
Commissioner Hagler, let me ask you a question. Did you, I didn't hear it, did you take in 1255-1 also in the ordinance?
Yes, sir. By deleting subsection 1, yes, sir. Is that not right?
Well, we didn't delete it. What we did was, it says the possession of consumption of alcohol beverages, exception C, section 31A as amended.
No,
and it goes back to the.
We deleted here. You're amending it by taking this out from the prohibition. That's right here on the first one. And then we amended this one by adding.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I'm sorry. We're good.
Yeah.
All right. Didn't mean to.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Who did the second on that one?
I did.
Okay. Thanks.
You guys keep us all straight.
And that one you got ready to book, go book it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Confusion, right?
I'm Tony Commission. And I think it's your folks didn't come.
No, it doesn't look like it. I'll mention when I pass out a second. Again, Craig Galbraith, Chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission. We have before you a slightly revised
suggestion for adopt amendment to the ordinance, in addition to the ordinance regarding solar panels and alternative energy. A little bit of history. We've been working on this for a couple of months and investigating a lot of information that's out there in existing ordinances from other communities. We had a public hearing, I believe, last month. Had some minor recommendations in terms of some wording changes by the council, which we have now adopted those recommendations. I believe there are four basic recommendations, changing 110% to 150%, basically saying that wind or solar farms are not allowed in Curie Beach. A grandfathering clause, we didn't use the word grandfathering, we don't want to use that, but basically any existing system prior to the adoption of this ordinance is allowed to exist unless they replace more than 50% of the equipment. We also added one other issue, which was actually based upon a comment by Mr. Hinkler that we were aware of, and that's that the new technology that is actually integrated into the building materials. So basically, we said that if it's integrated into the building materials and it's non-reflective, that you're not subject to the limitations as to how far she could go up to the roof line or the edges, but still subject to all the other ones. We are recommending that wind systems are not allowed based upon what I mentioned last time, noise and ambience, visual type of impacts. I just want to mention that we did have two people from a company up in Raleigh that manufactures wind system come to our planning commission meeting and do a presentation, and with an argument that they're really not that noisy, and in fact, you know, 35-foot towers are very attractive. So in anticipation, of course, we invited them, and we voted to, you know, pass it on to the council, not allowing wind systems, but we certainly did invite them to come to the council meeting tonight and present their views. They said they were going to come. They did not come, but in anticipation of them coming and presenting, did a fair amount of research in terms of the issues that they have raised in anticipation of providing a rebuttal. I don't need to go through this since they are not here, but you have it in front of you as to noise issues. That's a real serious issue in terms of wind turbines. A lot of people don't realize that noise is actually an additive process. That's why when you have one trumpet playing in a stadium, you can barely hear it, but if you have 20 trumpets playing at exactly the same volume, you know, it tends to be very loud, and that's the same type of issue in terms of the noise issues related to systems. Anyway, I'm not going to go through what I presented there, but if anybody is interested as to why we were very concerned about wind generation systems in Curie Beach. We think they're a great system out on farms and if you have a fair amount of acreage, but of course we're a fairly high-density beach community oriented towards tourism and residential interest. So anyway, we're bringing this back to the council with the changes that you suggested, and presented it as a something that you may want to consider for adoption.
Thank you, Craig. Do I have a motion?
Council, move. Do we adopt? As presented. So if wind comes into town, they would go through the P&Z process and ask us to change. I mean, if electricity had 500 times more expensive, suddenly that might change their view of it, right?
Right, and certainly, and we recognize this is one area where there's dramatic changes in technology, and 10 years from now, this may be obsolete. I think just addresses the current technology, probably the technology out for about 5 years. You know, again, as I mentioned, we might be spray painting on solar panels, you know, into our...
Make a motion, we accept the ordinance as presented.
Yes. All in favor, signify saying that.
Who seconded that?
Anyone?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the
work. Shoreline Access and Parking Committee. Installation of sidewalk on north side of K Avenue.
Come on. Let's go.
Come on now.
You got your flag jacket on.
We had a meeting with DOT. They went over, they resurveyed K Avenue to locate all the drainage. And according to DOT, the putting the sidewalk in would not affect any more problems that they have with flooding other than what they have now. So the sidewalk is, as far as we're concerned, it's a go. We just need your approval to go ahead.
Do
Do y'all want to have another public hearing, or do you want to vote on this tonight? What do you want to do?
Nancy, have we received permission for the driveway yet?
No.
I think you can say it was the purpose of the sidewalk to bring people out to Corral. We haven't got Corral straight out yet. I think when we get permission to get that driveway in, and it's ready, that's what we should do beside.
How long is DMT willing to hold? I mean, I know we have funds allocated. So I read with interest all the meeting stuff, and I know that none of the property owners seem very favorable that are affected.
I don't think we should wait. If they put the sidewalk in, and even if we put the an entrance in there.
And so what is pervious concrete? I was reading that with interest, too.
Into it, the water will just disappear.
I understand what it means, but have we got it somewhere in town that we're at?
Parking lot, the community center.
The community center is...
They put a hose on it.
Yeah, right. It'll just disappear.
Okay, cool. They're relevant.
I don't know if it would hurt because we're dealing with AT&T. We could get a report next week, and we could get a report 3 months from now.
If we don't do that, are you willing, is it possible to use the entrance you're not using?
No, because the fire chief and the police chief does not want anything to be used on the entrance that we use.
So we either got to get AT&T or DOT to agree for another entrance?
Well, AT&T is agreeing. If they agree, you would have that entrance there next to theirs. And then DOT said that they might have to restripe the turning lane because of the arrows and stuff.
And what I meant was if AT&T does not do that, and DOT says we cannot put in another entrance, then we're left where we are now.
Well, we could possibly use the make an entrance in our parking lot. On this side, in the parking lot, by the police, by the... we could conceivably do that. We didn't look into it because we're hoping that we would move forward and not backwards on that. And I think putting in the sidewalk, I think would be advantageous for them to do it. If they want to help us out, I really don't want to say no.
No, I mean, Tony, we've talked about stuff, so kind of reading the stuff, I'm more in building rates, right? $15,000 to the town, and then every person's house that it goes by, at least from this, said they didn't like it except for one, right? I mean, how many people are going to use the sidewalk? I don't know. I understand it's in our plan, so that's why I'm like, I don't know which way I am on it personally, but
it will go across people's property, and you know, that's our land, and it's...
Oh, no, you're exactly right. It's the town.
It's the betterment for the town, and it's up to you.
But I think ask you about this entrance out here. You talked about people coming in and out through the parking lot here.
That's the last resort.
Okay,
we're still looking.
If the police need to get out this side immediately,
they would use the other entrance like we do.
And go around.
They would use 7th. They would go in and out that way, like we do with our fire trucks.
And come around here. They had to get
it. Yeah.
But is AT&T, they're just slow, right? No one said they're against it. They just haven't gotten around
to it. No, we submitted all the plans to them, and they didn't say no. It's
I think they're going to say yes.
Not hurting anything.
Yeah. And they like work on this. So
and we did give them the right of way for them to put their phone system in.
Yeah.
And cable, so they owe us. But
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And Tony, how much is this costing?
They've already had
15. No, I mean, how much is it costing the town?
15.
It'll cost $15,000.
And it absolutely will not be any more than that.
Hopefully not, but, you know, I mean, they could put a sidewalk in and find something, you know, it's always hard to say, you know. I mean, it's only a sidewalk, but you never know what they can find when they
that's
do it.
That's exactly right.
I can't say yes. It's going to be $15,000, and it comes back, and it's.
Oh, it's going to be $30,000.
Yeah. And according to DOT, he said there's nothing to worry about at that point.
So far, he's picked up the old.
They would probably pick up if there's any unforeseen.
But that's order bound.
Yeah, not in the contract. It's when we had our meeting with them.
And does he have some deadlines? DOT has some deadlines?
No, they weren't going to do anything until council said.
Yeah, I understand. But I mean, do they have money that might expire in the fiscal year or something, right? Is there some time in this?
It's already down in the year.
Okay. Yeah.
And just so everybody's getting tied to, I mean, that's the other issue.
The money is there, and it's just a matter of giving them the okay so they can start their paperwork for the cycle.
Will we have a cross? Will we get a crosswalk out there going across?
It's not on the
No, I didn't plan to put a crosswalk across.
So the only purpose of the sidewalk is with the rest.
Well, the crowd and people walking on that side. We could, at a later date, possibly put a crosswalk. But I haven't really looked into that. I don't know what kind of can forms that road would offer. But that's a little bigger area across KMU, a dual lane. You know, it might be a little bit more difficult.
It's more dangerous to get over there to the park if you're coming from the side.
I just want to point out, you're saying the only purpose of the sidewalk is for the corral. I never thought the sidewalk was because of the corral. It's part of our land use plan.
Right.
It's part of our John Sawyer Beaumont study. It's part of the NC State School design. It's part of your direction to P&Z to bring the business district up.
Yes.
Okay,
and it'll be built to the standards for
It's supposed to be from the white line. It would be...
I'm talking about standards for ADA.
Oh, of course. I have to assume that it has to be. I mean, the state is not going to put something that's not going to be ADA. And it's going to be 10 feet in, 5 feet wide. And it's going to be on the ground. So I don't think it would be, you know. I guess when they start putting the sidewalk in at a higher level of the ground, you don't know that until you put the sidewalk in. You know, if it's higher or lower, you know. If it has to dip, I don't know.
Do I have a motion?
That's your idea. You should have started this 2 years ago, Carol. You talked to me again.
Well, this is the best compromise. We tried everything. Curves and 15 feet, 30 feet, everything's been... This is the best compromise and the best plan we've had. So if we're going to do it, this is the one we need to do. So I'll make a motion to do this.
Do I have a second?
So I'm just interested, right? So I came on with this one, right? This one was before. I think Nancy's point is very valid. Our plan says what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right. Right? Absolutely.
I'll say it. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Council deal, right? So that plan was made after I got off, right? Two of you guys were on here for that plan. Emily, you weren't on then, right?
The original
plan. Yeah, right?
No, and I guess my biggest concern is that it doesn't go over. I mean, we have a really, really tight budget coming up this year, and I just want to... Before the first bit of concrete is poured, I'm going to know exactly what that budget is.
You know the money's already set aside for it.
Well, unless it goes up. Her point is if it goes up.
About 15,000 set aside. I probably got the other 50,000 somebody's going to come back and ask for 2 or 3 months from now because, that 15,000 was based on something we did years ago. Things have changed.
It's a sidewalk. There's nothing more than a sidewalk. 5 foot wide sidewalk.
Yeah. What's about?
I'll make a motion that we do accept this plan with basis 32.
I was just going to point out that it's Palatville money. It's money that's allocated for sidewalks.
And it can't be spent for anything else.
Yes, it can be spent for other things.
Well, other road things.
Well, only certain things of this type.
And stormwater.
Only certain things are spent
for stormwater. Limited stormwater.
Very limited.
This has to go to engineering and has to have a plan done. DOT is not going, it'll be contracted out. So we have plenty of time. If we set the guidelines, no more money, then once the engineering is done, they'll be ready to go, you can still stop.
Well, then make the motion.
That's your problem.
Not to,
that's your only problem.
Then make the motion not to exceed $15,000.
Okay.
Are you making that one? No, because you started the motion.
All right, make the motion.
So you're amending your motion?
No, he's making a new motion. The other one didn't get a vote. It died. Lack of interest.
I'll try again. I'll make a motion that we accept this DOT's plan for the sidewalk. We've already obligated ourselves for $15,000, and that's part of them. And they need to go to some of that from the bottom.
Okay, I'm ready to vote, but I'd just like to add that we can't blame DOT for this, right? So if we do this, the council did it, not DOT. It's not DOT's plan, this is the council's plan. Sure. Okay, then I'm ready to vote.
You don't have a second?
A second?
Jane second.
You want to do the new
again?
One?
No.
Do it again.
Yes.
Okay. Now, vote.
All in favor,
signify
by saying aye.
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 I'm sorry, is there opposed? Can you always ask for opposed?
Opposed.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. It's all in the hot water.
We have one more thing. Yeah, one more thing. Oh. Sorry.
Oh, we do.
We did. Again with DOT with crosswalks. DOT is requesting a letter from us supporting a crosswalk that Curie Dunes HOA wants across Port Fisher Boulevard. We had originally requested a crosswalk here and so ago. We requested 5 crosswalks. They installed 4. They would not install one at the Curie Dunes HOA because it was private. We were told then to have the HOA contact DOT if they wanted it. If they were willing to fund it, they would do it. HOA has now done that, but now DOT is telling them they won't do it unless the town supports it. And in the meantime, we requested another crosswalk at them. So I just want to make sure before we do this letter that council is or has no concerns about the Curie Dunes HOA paying for a crosswalk at Port Fisher Boulevard at their private access. And that the town continues asking for the crosswalk
again.
He understand that.
Yeah, I understand. So who just came and yelled at us 2 months ago about the crosswalk?
That was the other one.
I'm just trying to.
Yeah, but we resolved that.
Short question. Why did they have to pay for this as a private one and Curie Beach Village didn't?
Yeah, because
there is no public access there.
Yes, we asked for 5 locations. They turned us down for 1, and Slap thought that putting a crosswalk there, due to the fact that you had both communities there and you both crossed, and only about 100 feet down from that entrance is a public crosswalk. That's why we did that there. According to DOT, the one that we originally planned for Curie Dunes, they did not accept. So we were in limbo for getting the 5th one. We had meetings and I pushed the issue that you promised us 5 and we want 5. So that's when M Avenue came into play. So we're going to get one at M Avenue. And that will satisfy our 5. In the interim of all this, DOT said that they would put in crosswalks anywhere they would want them as long as they paid $1,300 to install. And that's the bottom line.
I have one request. Please tell the people at the Dunes that having a crosswalk does not guarantee that traffic will stop. Don't assume they know that. Because I saw a woman with a baby carriage drive right out in front of traffic today at Curie Beach Village because she thought the traffic was going to stop. So please let them know that is no guarantee.
No, nothing is guaranteed. If you have a stoplight there, it wouldn't be a guarantee. I mean, it's just
all.
So Nancy, you need something for us? I
consensus? Or about, are you in support of
make a motion in support of Fire Dunes having their own crossword?
All in second, all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
Yes, sir. And I hope our new citizen, MDO member, is listening because I may need some help with this.
And this is the Greenway, right?
Yes.
Okay, the Greenway Committee held three public meetings across the county to get input from the citizens on the plan. It was not to present a plan, it was to get input on what the citizens wanted. The draft plan will not be completed until the end of the year. Okay? I'm emphasizing that because the meeting that was in Curie Beach, Mike Kirkbride from Carolina Beach laid out his map and his plan for the Pleasure Island Greenway. And we had a very interesting and exciting discussion because his plan takes it from up there around near Harbor up through all the neighborhoods in Carolina Beach and across Alabama through the back of Settlers all the way down through here and out the other end past Fort Fisher Recreation Area. And the other Mike that's in charge pointed out to this to him, and it is not the Greenway's plan. Mike should not that he shouldn't have been there, but he should not have had that laid out, presenting it to everybody and asking them questions and demonstrating it and all that. And so Mike number one asked him to remove it and not to show it anymore. But meantime, and I don't know what happened at the other two sessions because I didn't go to theirs, but meanwhile, it's very obvious from the information they're getting in that people would like to come to the island on their bicycles, okay? How they're going to get over the bridge is another issue. But once they get here, they like coming to the island. They like coming to Curie Beach. However, Mike has been asking people, would you rather have your little children riding on the bike lane on Dow Road, or would you rather have them riding through a safe neighborhood on a greenway? Okay, well, you can imagine what the response we're going to get. And I tried to explain, going behind him, that the bike lane will come as they repair the road. But we're not talking about the bike lane. We are talking about the multi-purpose path, which will be our greenway, that will go all the way from the end of Dell Road to K Street, okay, or Avenue. And you can ride bikes on it. It's off of the road. It's, if you've been on 17th Street lately, where they have the multi-purpose lane going down, 17th Street is far more dangerous than Dell Road is, okay? And they have it going down there, and it goes to their park. This would come down and go to our park. And you can ride bikes or baby carriages or just jog, whatever you would like to do. And then the rest of it, which I guess I had not even seen before, goes all through the neighborhoods back here, and some of it looks pretty interesting, but I'm wondering whether or not the people who live on these streets back here know that, you know, it's being talked, because it, his comes out Settlers and goes all through these neighborhoods back here. Okay, so we're in the planning stages. I would like to have a recommendation from the council, and I see we have three choices, unless you can come up with another one. Number one is to just do nothing and let the Greenway Committee decide whatever they want to decide. Number two is for the council to select
one or both of the plans that have been presented, the one we already have from DOT that goes down road, or the one here behind Settlers, or both of them if you like them. Or number three, have a public meeting like we did with the parking meters and see if, I mean, if nobody's interested, we'll make a decision. But these, I don't think these people back here on south of K even know what is being tentatively looked at or planned. And get our town's input. This is the one argument I'm having with Mr. McBride, that he says Curie Beach doesn't support what Carolina Beach wants, and we destroy their plan. I've tried to explain to him, Carolina Beach can have anything they want.
Exactly.
There. Anything
we destroy their plan because they want to dump everyone off in everybody's neighborhoods, and the town is not.
But Curie Beach would like to have what Curie Beach wants.
Right.
And exactly. I would like for the people in Curie Beach to get together and look at the maps and talk about what are these two or three plans we're supposedly looking at. Or is there another path nobody's ever even thought about? But those are my three suggestions, that we do one of those suggestions, either do nothing, go and make a decision, or open it up for our residents to give us more input.
Well, the DOT has already, you know, got the two bike paths.
Well, that's a bike lane. And the multi-purpose path is we, in that,
yeah,
is in that
we
plan.
Have like, we have
original plan was on this before we're doing that.
No, they're not putting it in right now. It's already in the plan, and it doesn't go any further than K. So I don't know that we even talked about all this.
Mike's plan shows it going through two or three brown zones, hazard zones, and it's not going to work. So.
And he also so said very emphatically that that was Sunny Point's suggestion, that he never had anything to do with that, that Sunny Point asked for it to be done like that. And I asked him to show me that in writing. So.
I like your recommendations that we advertise and have a town meeting to talk about it. Because I know the people in the south part of town, just like in the north part of town, when it comes out that you're going to route bikers from Wilmington to go through to the ferry, are going to be like, we don't want to ride through here. I mean, the citizens just, Curie Beach is all about biking if you're from Curie Beach, but I don't know that we want Rifle Beach, the bike Nazis, to come wave through town every Saturday morning and every Saturday afternoon. Because they will. They'll go all the way to the ferry and catch it, go across, ride around for the day, and then come back and do their 50-mile ride. And, I mean, you know, I don't mind the three or four that come through, but the county to present a plan that, hey, we're going to make it, we're going to encourage you to bike the whole New Hanover County. I don't know that's what the citizens want, especially if it goes through the back parts of the neighborhoods. I'm sure we'll have just as many people from the historic district as we did from up here in the north part of town.
And, you know, as your representative on the committee, I'd love to know more about what the people in Curie Beach want.
Well, they're not.
So, if I can make a motion to have a public hearing?
Yes.
I'll second that. Okay, make the motion.
I make a motion that at our next council meeting we have a public hearing to discuss plans for a greenway that benefits Curie Beach.
I'll second that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is that part of the next meeting, first thing on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration, and finance.
All in your old salt, you're aware.
Nancy, you're up.
You got 3 minutes.
Nancy, okay,
wait a second, let me just get to the last page.
You don't think do it fast.
I like what you
plug it back in?
No, it should shift. Automatically.
Just shift to send out.
It's
yes.
Your function update, just make sure.
Yeah, this is that four.
Function.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do is just go over the proposed budget, which is required to be presented by North Carolina General Statutes. I just want to let you know that all sections of the budget are in conformance with those statutes, with the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act. We must have a balanced budget or an interim budget by July 1st, 2012. Also requires a public hearing on the proposed budget, and right now that's scheduled for June 5th at 6:30 p.m. Once this budget proposal is accepted, then copies will be made available to the general public on the town's website and also in the town clerk's office. Just to let you know, the budget's based on everything we did at the retreat back in January and also at the budget work sessions held in April. I'd like to thank everybody that participated in the development of this. It's, you know, fairly lengthy process, can be a difficult task at times. The actual budget proposal that you've got in your agenda consists of three parts: the budget message, which provides highlights on the budget, budget draft budget ordinance, which shows by fund the revenues and expenditures, and then the draft fee schedule, which shows the service fees that the town charges. One of the beginning parts of the budget process was when council set their goals for 2013, which was done at the retreat, and just briefly, they were to complete the oceanfront park, address various stormwater issues throughout the town, strengthen water sewer fund reserves, in particular for replacement of water lines in the town's historical district, and then also to provide more financial stability, which includes having funds available for beach renourishment and replacement of a fire truck. So this budget was developed with those goals in mind. This is actually the proposed budget for the all funds. It totals $5,378,849. I'm not going to read through each one, but they're the different components. The largest part is the general fund, then followed by the water and sewer fund, and the other funds we have accordingly. What I'd like to do, though, is start with the general fund, since it is the largest fund, and kind of just give highlights. I know the budget message had a lot more detail, but let's try to stick with the highlights for this presentation. To talk about the general fund, we really have to talk about the countywide revaluation as a starting point, and the result of that, how that impacted Curie Beach. Actually, our tax base has decreased by 32.8%, so significant decrease in the tax base. It's gone from over almost 1.2 billion down to 796 million, so very, very significant decrease. For New Hampshire County as a whole, the decrease has been about 17%, so definitely the beach towns have seen a more significant decrease in the tax base. Anytime there's a revaluation, one thing that has to be done is the revenue-neutral tax rate needs to be calculated. And I know a lot of people think this is some complex calculation and confusing, but I put something here that I think is pretty simple to follow. You just have to look at the change in valuation from year to year from the past revaluation, which was in 2007, to come up with a average annual growth factor. And ours actually is a negative 0.15%. We'll use that just a little bit later in the calculation, I guess, but that was a starting point. Next was to look at what revenue would be generated by the old tax base at the old rate. So that was the almost 1.2 billion at the 16.25 cents that our tax rate currently is, and that was the revenue of a little over 1.9 million. Then you need to kind of work backwards and okay, what is the new revenue neutral tax rate? So it's the 1.9 million divided by the new tax base And since it's per 100, you have to divide that by 100. So that takes our new tax, revenue neutral tax rate to 24.19 cents, where again, right now it's 16 and a quarter cents. Then you, the growth factor comes into play, which actually reduces our revenue neutral tax rate. Once we apply that, the adjusted revenue neutral tax rate is actually 24.15 cents. So, you know, when you put it up like this, it's kind of straightforward and kind of a logical process. So I hope that clarifies that. So with that in mind, I'll go continue on a little bit with the general fund budget, which overall is actually 2.4% higher than this year's budget. And that's really the net effect of operating expenses increasing by about 5.5%, capital outlay actually decreasing by 78%, and that increasing our contingency by 108%. And I'll talk about that contingency in just a minute or two. But the primary reasons for the operating cost increase are projected increases in fuel costs, which I know are kind of coming down a little bit now, but we're still not sure about the future. And then also just some general price increases in purchase supplies and material supplies, services. What the fiscal year 13 budget is based on is not actually the revenue neutral tax rate that we just calculated here. It's actually based on a tax rate of 26.15%, so it's actually 2 cents above revenue neutral. And I'll give some reasons for that. I guess two in particular. One, you know, we need to continue to pay for the existing town services. And then two is actually to support one of those goals I originally listed, which was to provide financial stability. And with that, you know, one of the most significant challenges facing the town and I guess other beach towns is that of beach renourishment and whether that's going to be continued to be federally funded. There's been a lot of suggestion that beach towns should start to save for those projects. One reason we need to save, it's not something that could be financed. You know, if we need to all of a sudden spend a couple $100,000 on beach renourishment, we're not going to be able to get a loan to do that. We have to have the funds available. Also, in 2014, fiscal year 2014, the town needs to replace a fire truck to maintain our existing fire rating. I guess right now, when the rating changed a couple years back, everyone should have seen a significant decrease in their homeowners insurance. If we want to continue to see that, we're going to have a replacement of one of the fire trucks to continue to maintain that rating. Fire truck is fairly expensive, so we need to have some money as a down payment, and then we would end up financing the remainder. Just one other thing I just want to mention, because I had brought up about the increase in the tax rate over revenue neutral, was what effect does that really have on the town overall? And what this is meant to show is that before revaluation, looking at what the tax base was, what the county rate was, what Curie Beach's rate was, for the town as a whole, the tax levy was a little over $7.4 million. After revaluation, even including the extra 2 cents on Curie Beach's tax rate, we're actually going to see, from an overall town perspective, an actual decrease in the tax levy of $950,000. And again, I want to put it there so it's not like trying to massage any numbers. It's pretty straightforward, pretty black and white.
Yeah, Arlen, just one comment on that. So if you go back 10 years, this is returning the balance of taxes back to the one-third to Curie Beach, two-thirds to the county. If you look at the current tax rate, it's really more like one to a quarter, right? One to one quarter to three quarters, right? So one of the things is when that big rise happened right before the last evaluation, it really shifted our burden from the county to the beach towns, and we've been paying a lot more to the county, right? So this is more traditionally how it should be, especially if you look at the services we get. Sorry, bro.
No, that's okay. Thank you. The other thing about the revenue for the general fund is that it also includes a proposed 36 cent per month increase of the recycling fee. And that the fee will go from $4.52 to $4.88, and that's really we need to cover the costs associated with just the curbside recycle service that's provided, and then also provide recycling containers at the beach accesses. So that small increase will help to, not help, but it will cover the costs associated with that. But I just wanted to show very briefly, and I won't go through each one of these, but it's really the components of the general fund revenue. And really just wanted to highlight the four largest components, which, you know, property tax is big number one at 61%. Then what we get in sales tax at 15%. Garbage and recycling fees at 8%, and franchise and utility taxes at 5%. And just those four items make up 89% of the general fund's revenue. What this shows is those same categories, but kind of compares it across a three-year period, where the green being actual amounts for fiscal year 2011, the red being estimated for the current year we're in, since we still have another month and a half to go of the year, and then the budget that's being proposed for in blue for fiscal year 13. And again, you can see it's fairly consistent year to year the way the revenue was allocated, and of course for, you know, this upcoming fiscal year, the property tax is a larger percentage because of the increase in the rate. Next, I just want to cover some of the highlights on the general fund expenditure side. One, it includes a 2% merit increase for town employees, and that's based upon performance. So employees that are performing above expectations would be eligible for that. It also includes a 2.6 cost of living adjustment. Now, that cost of living adjustment, that's consistent with the consumer price index, and also with the cost of living adjustment that Social Security implemented in January of this year. And also those items I just mentioned will also apply, although I won't repeat them at that point, but apply to any personnel in the water and sewer fund and in the stormwater fund. Second item I wanted to highlight is council's compensation. A decision was made that they elected not to receive it for this current fiscal year. That's being reinstated for fiscal year 13. And what that means, we split that between the general fund and the water and sewer fund. So the net effect on both funds is about $6,750. And with that, council will continue to forego any cell phone reimbursements. Also included in the budget is some funding for the Pleasure Island concert series of $8,000, and then also $3,300 for the Curie Beach Christmas show, and both of those items generate tourism to the town. Highlight number four, the budget includes $15,000 for dredging of the Carolina Beach Inlet. That was actually approved by council in this current year. It's not being expended in this year, and we've been asked to move it to fiscal year 13, where there may be a potential need at that point in time. So that is included in this budget.
Just want to say, Jim's, when you go to talk to them about that, we talk about the budget, the outlay, how it broke up among the towns was heavily weighted. Right? I think Emily did a good job presenting it at y'all's meeting when you talked about it. Can you make sure that comes back up when they ask for the money if you get a chance?
You mean the weight that the difference?
Yeah, the fact that per capita we're paying 10 times as much as the Carolina Beach residents are.
About twice what Carolina Beach is, and far.
Well, they put $30,000, we put $15,000, but they have a lot more people, so I think it's a pretty big number. Just keep that.
You definitely don't want to hear what the original number was.
Oh, I'm sure I don't, but I know. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah.
It just came up during the budget meeting. I'm not sure. Thanks.
Also, one of the highlights for the general fund is the amount of capital outlay. There's $5,000 for some optical character recognition software, $10,000 for some fire department equipment, I believe it was AirPax, And then $32,000 for replacement of a police vehicle, which that item will be financed probably with a, you know, with a 4-year loan. The last thing I want to highlight for the general fund is the contingency. What that is funds that would be available if we need them on unexpected expenses that will come up, but in particular would be the source of funding for potential beach re-nourishment costs and also potential source of down payment for the fire truck replacement. And for this year, we're proposing $156,000 as a contingency, and that actually represents about 4.6% of the budget for the general fund. This is actually the expenses I just kind of went through, but broken down by department or function. And I'll just mention that, you know, the top five that account for about 82% of the expenses are the police department, public works, admin and finance, and fire department, and then debt service. Which I think I skipped over that where within the general fund, the debt service is about $222,000. That includes existing loans on the Oceanfront Park and town hall renovation was done a few years ago and some vehicles. Just wanted to show this briefly too, that again compares against 3 years what the budget is, and you can see it's fairly consistent. You might see a few ups and downs, but they really relate to how much capital outlay we would have in any particular year. So for example, for 2012, you'll see that public streets and sanitation or public works is higher. That's because there was a new garbage truck purchase. So that significantly influences the allocation. But most departments are fairly consistent year to year. With that said, they were kind of my comments on the general fund. I'm not sure if anyone has any specific comments or questions at this point on the general fund. So I'll continue on to the water and sewer fund. Fiscal year 13 budget is about 12.9% higher than the fiscal year 2012 budget. And that's really an increase in operating expenses by about 3.6%. And then actually an increase in capital outlay and strengthening of reserves at 104%. And I'll discuss that in just a minute, you know, the reasons for that. Also included in this budget, the main change, especially regarding revenue, is to proposed increases to the water and sewer rates for usage above the 3,000-gallon minimum. So the 3,000-gallon minimum would remain unchanged. It's just when you actually go over that amount. And the changes I just listed here, and again, I won't run through each one, but this is per 100 gallons, both for the 3,000 gallons. So that would be the amount of the increase. And I think if somebody were to, if a residential user were to use like 5,000 gallons, I think the amount of the increase would be about, I think, $5.50 more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I just want to say really that the reason for needing to do this is really our reserves. We really need to build our reserves for the potential infrastructure improvements, replacements that need to be done in the not so distant future. In particular, I think one of the goals for council was to start to save for a replacement of water lines in the historical district. So this will start to accomplish that. Because the water and sewer fund is what we call an enterprise fund, which is it really needs to operate like a business. So it really needs to be self-sustaining. Needs to not only cover the daily operating costs, but also save for future capital improvements. So this will accomplish that. This just briefly shows the how the revenue is allocated for the water and sewer fund. And I mean, as you see, 98% of the revenue for the fund is based on the water and sewer charges. In regard to expenses, there's debt service of about $111,000, and that includes loan payments for water tower that was disrupted a few years ago, and then also some other infrastructure and vehicles and equipment. And then also, as I think I had mentioned, the increase in infrastructure and reserve strengthening of that amount is almost $284,000. Mm-hmm. And that just shows how the expense budget is kind of allocated between departments and or functions. And again, as you'd expect, the operations is the bulk of the expenditures.
And the only issue with this, we don't know, is if the sewer rate from Carolina Beach is going to go up or not, right?
Correct.
Okay. So this is assuming the standard rate right now to balance your budget?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if that were to get up, increase, you know, after this budget was, if this budget's adopted, yeah, would end up just reducing the amount of reserve strengthening mm-hmm. for the years.
Well, we could amend that. Because that's a fee, right? So after the budget set, we could amend the sewer rate if we had to.
We okay. Could. Okay. Next, I'll go on to the stormwater fund. That budget for fiscal year 13 is almost identical to last year's. I think it's within, you know, less than $500. And this is really the revenue associated with that fund, and the bulk of it, as you see, comes from the monthly stormwater fees that everyone pays. Other revenue primarily relates to the stormwater building fees. In regards to stormwater fund expenses, one of the big things is debt service for a infrastructure project that was done on Cutter Court a couple years ago. That actually is 34% of the budget. Stormwater fund. The other part of the stormwater, which that kind of gives you an idea that operating day-to-day operating expenses are about 23%. The existing debt service is 34%. Then the capital outlay is again kind of two things: potential infrastructure projects, because there are a number of areas, and it's also it supports one of the council's goals about addressing stormwater issues throughout the town. So it covers that. And then also hopefully strengthening us in reserves so that there are a couple very significant projects that are kind of looming at this point that, you know, we wouldn't have sufficient funds to pay cash for them, but, you know, some of the amounts that we're increasing our reserves would help to pay for it, and debt service that we would have on the loans that we had to obtain. The next fund is the PAL fund, which I think there was some brief mention of that earlier in another discussion, but that's really funds that are specifically restricted to repairing, constructing, improving streets, including things like, you know, drainage related to the streets and also curbs and sidewalks. The estimate for that is that we'll get about $60,000 for the year, and the estimated expenses for the year are about $60,000 also, so when it comes in, it goes out. The last fund that we have is the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund, or SERF, and that really, as it says, is for future expansion, construction, and repairs of the sewer system. And that's really funded by user fees that are charged for new construction. So for this upcoming fiscal year, we expect to, our estimate is that we'll get about $10,000 in revenue, and that will increase the reserves. So that's really my comments by funds. I mean, in summary, you know, I do think that it's, you know, we thoroughly reviewed expenditures and did the, you know, reasonable conservative estimates of revenue. I think the budget supports the goals that council established earlier this year. It reflects service priorities and is responsive to the town's needs. And again, want to thank everybody that helped, you know, participated in developing the this year's budget. Well, that said, if anybody has any questions or clarifications. Or
thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir. So,
and Mr. Boach, do I have a motion to?
Yes,
sir. To vote?
Direct the clerk to advertise for a public hearing June 5th.
You want me to make the motion, sir? I'll make the motion that we've set the budget, message, ordinance, and fee schedules as presented by the finance officer, and that the town clerk publish the budget and advertise for a public hearing on June 5th.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Discussion real quick.
Okay.
No, you're right. I just realized we had the public hearing scheduled for 6:30 on June 5th, and John just pointed out that P&Z meets that night at 7, so can we schedule that for 6 o'clock that night instead of 6:30?
Okay, I'll amend it to 6 o'clock on June 5th. I'll try to get down here. I will get down here.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
June 5th at 6 p.m. Yeah, you're ahead of us. Good job. So, the second thing on here is a special meeting for department head evaluations?
Yes.
You want to talk
to
us about
that? Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that.
It's that time of year, every year around budget time, we do personnel evaluations. Council does department heads, you have to have department heads. You have a special meeting, you go to a closed session and speak with each department head and do the evaluation. Then on an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on how long you want to talk, so I didn't know if you wanted to.
Are you going to pass out the forms?
Yes. What we did, last year was give each liaison the form. Liaison can either fill out the form beforehand, or council can fill them out as a whole during the evaluation process.
Would it be ready by June 5th, so we're not having two meetings? We could just do it after the budget hearing, or all
well, that's why I'm asking you when you want to schedule a meeting, or do you want to do it during the day,
We only went to last year, is that evaluated at the time? So that's it. Or
yes. It took about 2 hours last year.
You can't do it.
Okay.
How much time do you want to do it?
I don't know how long did it take you last time.
About 2 hours.
No, the pre-work. How long did it take you to get pre-work? Oh, nothing. It's just you do that. Yeah. Well, Steve's not here, so. Do we have to establish that right now, or can we get back to you after you pull Steve?
You can get back to me and the mayor to get the agree on the day the mayor can call me.
You have a deadline. This has to be done by.
It has to be done by July 1st.
Yes, I would prefer by before June 20th when you adopt the budget.
Right.
We have paperwork that has to be. You also have to, if you adopt this budget that has to be there, you have to give us the mayor.
Yeah.
Hey, Bunny, just don't give any. It's not a problem. We'll save money.
Can you poll the council on a date the second week of June? And then we can schedule it. Do we have to advertise it a week in advance or something that we're going to close session for evaluation?
48 hours.
Yeah. Poll us and we should get back to you at the end of the month. At the end of this week, so you can schedule it.
While I'm here, I just realized when you were voting on the sidewalk, there's a resolution 1203 that you also need to vote to adopt. The DAT just wants, all it does is just said that we've committed $15,000 to the Powerball Fund. We've already got one. This is the second resolution. I think this will be the third.
We're going to second one for the second time.
Yes. That you want to move forward with it and then you're committing to $15,000. So I just need to vote in.
Do we have a motion to first to move forward on 1203?
So moved.
Second. Resolution. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, keep us on track.
Front
part.
Sort of.
had the Zoom. I'm sure most of y'all have seen what's going on out there. The original concrete slab has been completely removed. We're anticipating, the supervisor has been, told me that he is anticipating that forms will be being placed for the new slab by the end of the week. As you've probably also seen, we've got a new crossover that has been completely rebuilt, and they will be working on construction of the boardwalk starting this week also. They are still anticipating the entire boardwalk to be done by Memorial Day, which is a good thing. We'll see how that plays out.
They have said they're going to start the boardwalk construction at the crossover as it goes towards the end.
Just wanted to give you that quick update, and we've got a couple other things that have come up that we just really like to have council's direction on. First of all, many of y'all have been in talks about the benches and the trash receptacles, the ash urns, and the swings that are specced out for the park. The benches, the trash urns, and the receptacles were specced out, but the swings weren't. They were just designated as performed by others. So the benches, the trash urns, and the trash receptacles and the ash urns were all metal, powder-coated metal, park-style look to them. And it's been talked about the whole park was supposed to have a old Fishing Village feel, wood, everything's supposed to be wood, natural, things of that nature. And so after much deliberation and talking with the local contractor here that builds benches and swings, we asked him if he'd like to build benches and swings for the park. Most of you have voiced your approval on this, and so basically I'd like to get a council approval in a meeting telling Jim and I to go this route rather than to use what was spec'd out in the original plans.
Have you got a picture for Scott?
I do not have a picture of the swings or the benches. Jim and I both looked them over. We are very happy with them compared to what was originally spec'd out, and we both feel, speaking to you, we both feel that this meets the intent and the vision that we wanted the park to have.
And what are we being charged?
The original benches were $938 a week. The preliminary price that I've gotten from the contractor is about half of that per bench and swing.
The benches and swings are 16.
Yeah, I thought the original metal benches were about 1500.
The number I saw was between $900 and $1,000. $938. You could be right, but that's just what came to mind.
That was the previous contract.
So is that the last of all? That's not quite nice.
My guess is they probably wouldn't last as long just because of the material they're made of. But from the first day that we had any kind of group that gathered, it was wood was okay. What they wanted.
That's fine.
Has Sonny voiced an opinion on this?
But Sonny has no preference as far as the benches or the sleeves are concerned. He does have a preference as far as the trash receptacles and ash urns are concerned. What was spec'd out, no one was happy with, and we've asked him to give us something that he would be happy with.
But it's still aesthetically pleasing.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
We're not going to put the plastic.
That was what we wanted to get away from. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So if that's okay with council, we'll keep on proceeding in that manner.
And we'll get pictures to you probably in the week.
Do we need to say something so you know that's the council?
Can I run through everything and then
sure.
Just do it?
Everybody's on
the meeting.
The second thing that has come up was the top lot. There's two issues with there's one issue with the top lot, and that is there were two small playground items that were going to be placed in the top lot. One was a turtle, the other one was a fish. Since the park has started up, we found out that the fish is no longer available from the supplier. So can Jim and I just pick out another multiple features.
Can you talk about the rest of it first before we finish on the vision of the turtle?
Well, we can talk about everything. Okay. So that's the first issue. The second issue is, originally what was spec'd out was a wooden pirate ship. It is about 8 by 12 by 8 feet tall. Somehow or another, another playground rep has come into the mix and has offered different alternatives for playground equipment.
And can we go back first about why the wooden ones, who was going to build the wooden one originally?
No, this is
and
this
whether
is
or
different.
Not they still are?
This is different.
They were not going to build
when the plans one. Were originally voted on by council. The boat was supplied by Withers and Revenant. That's the one that John just talked about. After that had occurred, we had the voluntary builder come forward saying that he would build it. We accepted that proposal, and he has since backed out. So now, at least from our opinion, goes back to Withers and Revenant for a recommendation.
How do you back out? Probably just out of business. Came back. Okay, might have a real work.
So, to continue on, Withers and Ravenel did spec out a pirate ship. It is a very nice looking pirate ship. It does not have a slide on it. It will cost roughly $3,851. And there is one alternative that they've also given us, which would cost $5,315. As I said, another playground rep came into play and offered alternatives that were made of recycled plastic. She requested a meeting with Jim and I, and Emily was present also, and asked us if we could change that around. This was prior to the new contractor coming on board. We were not at liberty to change anything or make any potential changes until we knew what was going to happen at that point. So since then, she's been in contact with Withers and Ravenel trying to work something out.
What does your prices look like?
Have no idea. Been asking for them. So I have a couple of WIP renderings here. One from the new playground rep and one that is the alternative to the pirate ship. And I'd like to show them to y'all.
We need a pirate ship.
Meanwhile, John, I'm in possession of an email from Kurt at Withers and Ravenel to Nancy saying that everything is going to change, that we're not going to use a wooden one.
I've got the same email.
And that he would like to have some specs and information about these two.
I've got the same email, to tell you what transpired last week, I got a phone call saying the original pirate ship wouldn't work. But then I was told again today and yesterday that has since changed and the pirate ship would work. He says there is room. He does say that there is room now. However, as you all know, there is a shade sail that goes over the top.
Yeah.
And I believe that will come into play with that.
Yeah.
So right now, all I'm looking for is direction. Do we want to move away from the wooden, old-timey look? Do we want to go to a recycled plastic type playground? I mean, what would y'all like for us to do at this point?
If it's colored like wood, it does.
Is this handicap accessible?
I didn't ask that question specifically. I was just told that was an accessible alternative.
John, you have another copy that I can just have for our agenda packet? I'll get it from one of these guys. They'll leave it. Okay.
But this is not something that needs to be decided tonight. I just wanted to let you know we're coming at a crossroads, and I need to know.
Yeah, so what is the process to decide?
Well, this will be one of the last items that will be carried.
How much lead time do we need to get?
I'd like to know something within the next 2 months, that way that I can tell a contractor we are going with this unit right here. That's what we want spaced out, and this is what we want done.
You need to get the price to it.
Okay, so you're bring it back to So just to raise the council, what's our process for this, Rick? So we have a design that we've approved. With these changes, is council, we're going to make the changes, or we're going to deign it to these two guys, or we're going to have some feedback, or I don't know how y'all got to the original design. That's right, that was before I said it.
If I might speak real quick, previously council did charge Jim and I with making small, insignificant changes as needed. Okay. We just feel like this was something I should come.
Right, I understand. Yeah. So you're saying this is outside your scope. I'm just asking, what's our process? So what is our scope?
Put that back in the scope.
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. You guys are
just leaving.
You don't have a committee that
would
that,
no.
That you did not have a committee?
Yes. They performed their work and they were disbanded.
John,
okay.
I would like
were
to
they qualified people?
They were voters. They're paying for the park.
Pardon?
They're voters, they're paying for the park, but they're qualified. We had people on the committee that were park specialists and architects. And,
well, what about teachers that work with young children? This is
we actually did have a teacher on our committee.
You really got when you're talking about a playground, and I hear you talking about money, you really need to have professional people.
Yeah, like soccer.
And I'm sure there's even teachers in this area.
There was teachers. There was a teacher.
Yeah. Do you have a teacher on this?
Yes, ma'am, we did.
There was.
So,
did you have, I'm sure you had parents too.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And this playground, is it for
tots, really tiny kids?
They're for tiny kids. That's why you got it. I hope you had some good people.
Well, the architectural firms, the...
I don't care about architectural.
Well, they specialize in this, as far as like ADA and the type of equipment to use.
Have you visited other playgrounds?
Yes.
Yes. And the playground woman they're talking about who came in, she designs playgrounds all over the country, and she, and our architect firm, landscape architect firm, happens to be one of the firms she works on. Or works with different kinds of equipment, and they asked her, they picked out that design and asked her to get information on it. But I guess my question is, regardless of which one, could we find out about the turtles or fish or jumpy things you jump on coming from the same company? Do those companies have something similar? So they kind of fit in together, and the whole idea about the school kids, we're going to paint them and everything, is will that still be possible? Because we want them to go up, we want them to blend with
Right, and that's why, you know, this was criticized, and it was drawn exactly the way the committee wanted it drawn and accepted by council, and now we're deviating from that.
Well, no, we're still having a boat. We're still having two jumpy things. It would just be nice if they blended
that
in.
That wasn't a boat. It was a glide. Yeah, that's not a boat.
Well, the one with the dolphin.
As far as, to answer your question, as far as I know, I'm like, right now we're trying to figure out what to do.
Okay.
When they talk about having some good people, he wasn't even prepared with a handicap. And they're handicapped kids. I'm not criticizing, but
no, everything was is supposed to be ADA designed. That's why I asked if that one ship, which I didn't, it's the first time I've seen it, so I just wanted to know how it's accessible.
He's even questioning whether they have recycle or wood equipment.
I think John's doing a really excellent job with what he has to work with, and he's doing what he has.
I don't know if you understand what I'm doing here, but basically there's been several different types of playground equipment. I'm asking council what they prefer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You should have a recommendation for
that. We've already discussed this long enough, John. Can you get back to us with the price? I mean, we can't do anything.
I've been asking for a price. Mr. Mayor.
Okay. And if she uses the Dolphin, you're going to have to lose the sale because it's going to be higher.
Well, once again, that's one thing.
Get all the details together and get over with us.
The final thing, as you know, the new boardwalk goes in. We got rid of the angle iron that ran along the pavement on the western side of the boardwalk. In order to tie that all back in, an 8x8 concrete block was poured along the entire length of the road, 615 feet. At the time of forming the forms for the concrete, and prior to pouring the concrete, we discovered that there was an unanticipated issue. The boardwalk is uneven in some areas, but the road is even more uneven in areas. And so after quite a bit of deliberation, we decided to pour the concrete as the boardwalk flows. It's easier to rework asphalt than it is concrete. So, the issue that we're running into now is that the road has dips and rises all along the entire boardwalk, and it's creating a tripping hazard as much as a 2-inch lip in some areas from the boardwalk. Directly in front of the boardwalk, directly in front of the park, every bit of that road will be reworked, and so I'm not concerned with that area. What I am concerned about is the remaining 400 feet of roadway that adjoins to the boardwalk. The engineer produced an alternative or a fix for that situation, and it was to cut 4 feet of asphalt out along that 400 feet of boardwalk. Report where it conforms to boardwalk height. I ran this by Sonny, and Sonny said, you know, this actually, the whole road should be repaved, and I feel like it would fall under acceptable uses of the PAL fund. And in the meantime, the engineer did get an RFP from the contractor for removal of 4 feet of asphalt along the entire boardwalk. That cost was roughly $13,000.
For the 4 feet, just the 400 feet?
Yes, sir.
The 400 feet is $13,000?
Correct. So, after talking with Sonny about the PAL fund deal, the engineer has asked for an RFP from the contractor for resurfacing the entire length of Land Boardwalk from K Avenue to L Avenue. So I just want to give you that update too. So that'll be coming down the line.
And that's what Sonny supports, right?
One additional item to be thinking of. Everybody knows the boardwalk is first thing going to be completed. Once it's been completed and our engineer says that it's acceptable, it's going to be coming back to you to accept.
Yeah.
Prior to the rest of the park being done. So that's the only way it can be opened up is after we accept responsibility for it. So just be aware that we're going to be coming to you for part A of the park to be completed and be occupied.
So are you going to call us for a meeting?
It'll be a regular day?
Yeah. Because you won't be able to open, right? So are you going to call us for a meeting next Thursday or Friday so you can open the boardwalk for Memorial Day?
We'll see when they're done.
Possibly. Yes, sir. Possibly.
If you're done, I think we should. Otherwise, it's going to barricade off from a wall.
Yeah,
we're
going to
have to do that, right?
Yeah.
So we just might have to have a meeting to accept it, right? Mm-hmm. Because as soon as it's done, I'd like it to open it up, right? That was our goal all along.
That's right. That was the reason.
And we push them, they've done their part, we got to do our part.
Right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Can I just clarify? So there's nothing, no decision that you want council to make tonight, or no direction that you want council to make?
They got to get back to us.
You want to?
We felt that we got, at least, I felt I got direction that, that they're okay with the swings, they're okay with the benches. That we are to get back to them with costs on the, as soon as John gets the cost on the boat. Emily spoke, and everybody on council seemed okay with it, that we make sure that everything is compatible that's within the top line.
That's good, Nancy. I agree with what Jim just said.
Are you coming back to them about the top line?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
Okay, just so you know, there won't be anything in writing that they agreed to.
Right.
Okay.
Sure, that way it still just, rolls down.
Yeah, right. Fire department? Do we have anything from fire department? Police department?
Yeah.
Public Works? Durables?
Yes, sir.
Likewise.
As you know, the marketing committee on TDA worked for several months to put together, as part of our tourism plan, something special to do in the Durham-Raleigh Research Triangle area, because that came out as one of our highest draws, especially for young families and children. And the thing they worked on most to give us publicity up there was to work with the Durables for the entire month of April, where during games on their big display board they would have advertisements about Curie Beach. I guess my only disappointment with that was that they didn't use this logo. They used the logo, I guess, that's on our website with TDA, but that's okay. It had a peer on it. And they also, the announcer talked about Curie Beach during those occasions. They were supposed to have a winner to win a trip to Curie Beach. The idea was the person who received the game ball for the game where they had two home runs in a row, they would get to have a free trip to Curie Beach. You know, places to stay, meals, everything. I don't think the Durables has had two home runs in a row for about 10 or 20 years, so that didn't happen. But let me tell you, first of all, on the, I believe it was the 29th of April, whatever that Saturday was, I went up there to represent the town, and Bob and I went together. We had 20 tickets for the game. Rather than give them back to them, which I don't believe they could have sold them, they had a few empty seats in the stadium. But I went to the window where people were buying tickets, and I selected families that had young children and gave them tickets complimentary of Curie Beach, and we all sat in the stands together. I have a few pictures of us. They were absolutely delightful, and I'd say by the time we got through, we have 18 new people who now want very much to come to Curie Beach. And during the fourth inning, I got to go down where they have their little platform over top of the dugout, and Chris, who's their head corporate marketing executive, presented me with a ball while Miss Molly, very, very nice lady, took pictures and all. You have pictures of that, not sure of them, but very good pictures. And again, the announcer told all about Curie Beach and how wonderful we are. And then the following Monday, they drew from all the people who had accepted or received game balls at all the games during April. They drew one of them out and selected a young lady who they're going to try to get a picture with her, but also let us know when she will be coming to Curie Beach
So maybe we'll have an opportunity to meet her, maybe get a picture of her down here visiting us. Except that they lost. It was really a lot of fun. And I'm sorry the rest of you couldn't be there, but I promise you we had an absolute ball.
Well, the market, I mean, you said that the chances of anybody winning that were skewed, so.
They knew that. So that's why they did draw it.
That's what they did. All right, thanks.
It was fun.
Weekly emails, advertisers, non-brick-and-mortar businesses. Nancy, can you get up here, please?
Oh, thank you.
Or yes.
We originally started the weekly email as a way to, or started collecting email addresses for people to keep them abreast of what was going on town business-wise. That evolved into a weekly email that evolved into council saying that they would allow businesses to advertise. We asked that it be restricted in some way so that we wouldn't spend our days editing and adding information to the weekly email, and that's where the brick and mortar came from. What we do for the other businesses, we have a link on our website for any businesses who want their information out there. Keep in mind, once we roll out our new website in July, we're going to go away from the weekly email because the website will do the automatic email for everyone. You can sign up in whatever area you want information on, and when that's changed or updated, you'll get an email with that information. So it's up to council, I guess, how much information you want, what businesses, if you want everybody on the island. Somebody has privilege license in Jerry Beach, but they live in Carolina Beach, and you want their link on our website.
What's realtors.
Realtors.
Lots of realtors.
Insurance salesmen. I mean, we have a lot of links now on our website for photographers and for realtors.
Yeah.
But we don't include that in the weekly email. That's mainly the motels. And
so in July, you're going to roll out the new website.
Yeah.
And I'd like to make a motion that all businesses in Jerry Beach be included in.
On the website or on the email?
They already are.
No, that's what General Kansas
just said in the website.
Right.
They, any of them who want to can be on there, right?
No.
Do we have a stipulation that it has to be somebody who lives here or they have a business here? Because some of our hotel owners don't live here.
Yes, you're in business.
Our only stipulation today has been that it's brick and mortar business in Tree Beach.
Right.
Who made that decision? Because I don't remember. That must have been before I came on the council. So my cupcake lady in Curie Beach cannot advertise the.
Well, I saw the charge for that. That was for free.
Yeah, I thought we could. Sorry, okay.
I didn't realize it was for free because I looked at the link and I mean, I don't really look down there, but I figured they were paying something to be there.
I don't read it anyways.
I'm talking two different things. At the end of each of those weeklies, the list of the business.
Right.
Somewhere else you've got other links, or is that the
on the actual public website?
On the Curie's, the town of Curie's website.
And on that one, you're allowed more than you are. And
they have to have a website to link to it.
Right? We just have a phone Curie's number website or something. Okay. Have their name and phone number.
We do have some businesses that just have their phone number.
Just like on the visitors page, like Lock and Key Companies, Taxi. Right. We have a couple of the photographers, and all of this is their name and their company and their phone number. No additional information like what
so
we have on our
email. So there's no link on there that you click on and go to their website?
No, it's,
well,
I don't think, the photographers do, right, if they have a website.
What we're talking about is the next 6 weeks for the emails.
Right.
Well, in the new system, what?
But it's. Should I? Go ahead.
On the new system.
In the new system, everybody who has an email now will have a time period where we'll say this is going to be the last of the emails coming. Go to the new website. Sign up for what you want information about. And if they go to the business section and they want information about that, anything that's updated, they'll get an email. If it's not updated, they won't get an email about it.
But that same section is going to be available on the new site?
Yes. You have to remember, too, we have over 1,000 emails, and a lot of those people are out-of-town property owners who are on there for emergency information or changes to their property that they don't know about.
So you don't really need any business announcements on there at all?
They don't really care if Freddy's is having a special
or... Just take them off for the next 6 weeks.
That was something the council voted to put on there.
To me, I kind of feel like the government shouldn't be advertising the businesses. Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce is there for that.
Or in June, that's my two opinion. In May. No,
but I mean, the new one, they're going to get an email. What's the difference? The new one's just
going to get the same. You're not going to get the same email. You only get one
if some change.
You have to instigate
it. Yeah, some changes. So if they update it, you'll get an email.
Basically.
You're not going to update it anymore? Every week?
I still do it until our website.
The new system, what are you going to do?
Once the new site comes up, we'll be updating the website, but we're no longer going to be doing the weekly emails because there's going to be a feature on our website that you click on and you can sign up for notifications of new events that are going to be taking place, of agendas and minutes. You can choose.
I have to ask what I want off of the
Yeah, but once you do it, once you do it, then you just get an automatic email that comes to you. Yeah, just sign up once and then they just start coming to you.
I mean, I guess you have to call police or fire or government or whatever.
Right.
However y'all break it up.
Right.
You only want to know about party.
Yeah, getting back to the original question, we're way off from the deal, right? So we've had a business owner come and request to be on there. The concern from the staff is that when you do that, if it's not brick and mortar, you're going to get deluged. So I assume every realtor, including my wife, will send up there and say, I want to be on there.
We have probably about four or five standing in line right now.
Right. Do they have a privilege license for curators?
Yes. Yeah, I guess. Realtors.
Realtors don't have to get a privilege license.
Not have to? What? Okay.
They don't have to get a privilege license. Realtors don't.
Well, then we're talking about privilege license.
Okay, so how many privilege licenses do we have?
300 or so.
So that
means it's only 6 weeks. Why don't we just not have any business say it's on our email for 6 weeks? You work on the website. Let them all sign up to be on the website.
So, this gentleman's still here.
So, I mean, if I got this email with 300 businesses on it, I just want to look at the bottom of it.
I don't think there's anywhere near 300 is going to ask to sign up. You're supposed to have a privilege license. I've got a privilege license, but I'm not going to sign up.
Yeah, right.
Just like the Chamber's newsletter. Yeah. You have all
we have a request from a business owner to go on the website. And he has a privilege license. And he lives in Curie Beach, so he should be.
I don't care if he lives there or not. As long as he has a privilege license and has a business in Curie Beach, he should have the same rights as anybody else.
Right, that's where we're going to say. So I guess back, so the realtors are easy, it sounds like, if they don't have privilege licenses.
If you guys don't want anybody without a privilege license.
So I make a motion that as long as the newsletters advertise the businesses, anyone with a privilege license is eligible to be in there.
I said that.
Sorry, staff.
As long as
they have a curious privilege license. Yeah.
Is advertising businesses any business with a privilege license?
Yes. That request. I don't think we should be soliciting, but if they come on a question.
And advertise on our weekly email.
So you want to be a resident? You want to be a resident in that? Oh, but he wants to change.
Hotels aren't owned by residents, it's residents.
They advertise
for the money going.
So that they have a privilege license.
Yeah, they play room hockey in Texas too.
Yeah. Yeah, brick and mortar, I think, is understandable.
David, make your motion again.
Do you want it with residents or without it?
No, let's make it there.
Okay, so anyone holding any business holding a privilege license in Curie Beach can advertise for free on the Curie Beach email, weekly email, as long as we're doing it.
In the next 6 weeks.
Well, until we might keep doing it. Website I break, it could be forever. I mean,
all in favor, sing by saying aye.
Oh, can I ask a second?
No, I have a question.
Okay.
First of all, I didn't hear a second. Did you second it?
Okay.
One of you guys, one of you says second.
I second, okay. Now, how do you determine how much goes on there? I mean, what if the gentleman back here, you know, writes up two or three paragraphs about how wonderful he is? Do we have a limit, like two sentences, two short sentences, one sentence?
We don't have a limit.
If you guys look at what it is right now, I look at it like this. On my computer screen.
Yeah.
A nice paragraph.
Like 3 lines.
So like Big Daddy's just recently asked me, they gave me a list of all their liquor drinks with prices. And I said, how about if I just say that you've got a discount on your, you know, mixed drinks? And
because we shouldn't be advertising alcohol.
Exactly. I agree.
Be reasonable about what you accept. Reasonable about what you write.
Right. Right.
Y'all have your discretion.
So, you have a vote?
Yeah. Anyway, all in favor, I'm going to move on. There we go.
Is that the end?
Was
that the end?
Yes.
For the
record. One more thing in order. You want to take a second then? So, before you have the annual letter we sent out to the citizens that we put on the desk, there's only, I request permission to send it out via email.
I have a question.
And with one change, the email address, my email address needs to be the town email address. What's your question?
For larger storms, isolating water to the ocean front, what does that mean?
Because of Hurricane Fran, not 85 miles.
I saw that out here. It says it resulted in them being shut off. Then why don't you say for larger storms, water will be shut off? Isolating. The ordinary person reading this has no idea what isolating means. Why don't you just say shut off?
I'm fine with changing that. I mean, so the reason it's written that way is just because our emergency operation plan says isolated.
It's very bureaucratic, too, so please write it up that the regular person can understand.
I'm sorry, I don't have a letter from you. Where is that letter?
I'll make sure and change it on this and give it to you. So I'll change
the first page, bottom center.
I got it. So I'll change that to shut off.
Thank you.
And I'll put you under
the
stairs. I
love it. All right. Here.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Now, are we going to accept that letter? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to send it. That's my motion. That I'll send it out by email. I've worked with the council to get out this one.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
I do. I have it on tape.
Good night, sir.
$15,000.
So what?
Can you reset? Can you just kind of pare it down a little bit? Because I think you had it a little bit. So pare it down a little bit. Resend it to me.
Absolutely.
And I'll go ahead and cut these out.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, Arlen, go ahead and just leave that on the table. You can take your laptop and because they got a meeting tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Hey, David, we're just going to leave this up.
Thank you.
And I don't know where you normally put it for your thing. Is that okay?
Yes.
I mean, you can.
Do I need to bring my laptop?
Why don't you? We have the EOC laptop, and I think Andy Everhart has already kind of figured out how it's going to
work. Okay, I'll remind you just to
make
sure I have it.
Okay, good.
March 7th. Saturday 10th.
see what their point of view is, what questions and concerns, and put that out and
information,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you too.
Thanks, Mayor.